This episode is brought to you by Libsyn. Planning to start a podcast? Look no further than Libsyn. Libsyn is one of the biggest feature-rich podcast hosting platforms in the world. Libsyn is IAB certified, offers many hosting plans, and you can start for as low as $5 a month. Aspiring podcasters who listen to the show radio can get 1 month free by using the promo code TSR. Use promo code TSR at checkout to get 1 month free. What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode. We're good.
Sorry,
I'll leave that in. Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the show radio. This is episode 590. I'm your host, Andrew.
And I'm Danny.
And this is your source for tech, gaming, and entertainment news. Head over to theshowradio.info. Once again, that's theshowradio.info. And check out our past shows while you're there. Subscribe and tell a friend about the show. The show is on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, all the places that you can find podcasts. We are there. And we thank you for supporting and thank you for listening. We are back after a somewhat of a long hiatus. It's been about a month plus of life things. Yeah. But we're definitely back on the microphone. Excited to be back with you. Daniela, how are you?
Oh, man, I would like to say rested, but that is not the case. But I'm coming back. It's just, it's been a crazy month and a half. I can definitely say that. You got stuff going on. I had stuff going on. I had way too much stuff going on.
Yeah, it's like we needed the break, right? It just felt like we needed that, and we didn't even realize how much we needed it.
Dude, I feel like I need a break from my break. Right. Okay, for me, it was more so I had like my July. I was like swamped with so much like of my daytime job work that July felt like 2 months compressed into one. And I like the ending of June, I knew that's what like I knew that. The schedule was pretty packed for July for work, but I thought I was prepared for it. I was not. Like by the end of the first week, I'm like, I have like 4 more weeks of this. I can't. Like, and I got through it, but there was one day, it was 4:30 in the morning. We're already working 15 and a half hours. And I'm like, I'm done. I want to go home and I just want to sleep and I want to be left alone.
Right.
But the thing is like, I also had like my best friend. She's been here she left last Friday and she's been here since April. She came to spend to my son's graduation. She wanted to spend time with the family. Especially with my son going off to the Air Force, she definitely wanted to see him and, you know, hang out with him, spend time with him, whatever he can before he's gone for however long he's going to be gone for. So I didn't have any vacation days I could really take and just trying to fit in. I'm like, okay, I want to make time for family, but I also need to make time for friends or not friends, but for work. Like, where do I find this balance? And so much of like, it's either, okay, I can't do this that I wouldn't want to do, or and I can't sleep. So a lot of that took away. If I want to spend time outside of work with my family, with my friends, I got to sacrifice somewhere. And that just like left me with, I don't know how content creators, like somebody needs to give me the magic formula of balancing, you know, working full time, being a content creator, podcaster, whatever it is that we do, family, friends, personal time, and sleeping. Like somebody needs to show me what that magical like formula is so that I can implement that into my life.
Yeah, it's definitely pretty wild. The scheduling stuff, and I think that for me, my interests are changing a little bit. More towards the investing side of things. So I've been spending a lot of time there, which I'll mention some stuff about that later. But I think scheduling and really putting on a calendar and just dedicating the time to it can be very, very difficult. I can honestly say that I haven't mastered that yet, right? It's like you want to have these, okay, so this day I'm going to video edit at this time to this time, but you have to make the decision to put those things on the calendar and just commit to them. And that can be tough. That can be tough. I have not mastered it yet, but it's definitely something that is a work in progress.
Excuse that cough right there. Sorry about that.
No, it's all good.
No, I get what you mean. And for a bit, sometimes, you know, setting that calendar really works, but like life happens and you got to kind of adjust and roll with it, because when emergencies happen or something unexpected happens, it's not like you can be like, oh, I'm sorry, 5 p.m. I have it set from 5 to 6. I'm going to be editing some videos and making some clips here. I'll catch you after.
Right.
So it's just, it's a lot of that. But I mean, to a degree, having a calendar and really dedicating yourself to it and sticking with that as much as you can, as much as is reasonable and healthy. Yeah, it definitely helped. But I gotta give kudos to everybody who really sticks on that and makes time for their mental health, because I can tell you at the end of July, I was just like so burnt out. I'm like, I don't want to do this.
you don't want to do it anymore.
I don't want to do anything right now. And last week it was kind of a nice easy week. It was supposed to be, but my schedule changed in a single day. My schedule for the week changed 5 times, to the point where I came into work the following day unsure if I showed up at the right time in the right place, because I was scheduled to work in 4 different areas. And I'm like, this, I will wait until somebody scolds me because I don't know where I'm supposed to be. And they're like, oh, okay, that's perfect, because we don't actually need you today. Perfect. I'm going home. Like, I know I don't have much vacation time, but I don't want to be here. You already had so much of my time. I'm going to go do this. And it actually worked out pretty nice. Granted, I fell out of a tree twice. So
how do you fall?
That.
Why are you in a tree in the first place?
So one of my best friend's last days here, the day before her flight, we decided to take all our kids to go swimming. And there's a spot on the east side of Kauai called Loop Road. It's up in the mountains. It's actually really close to Mount Waialae, which is one of the top 5 wettest places in the world. It rains a lot. But it's beautiful. It really is beautiful up there. A lot of greenery. So there's a river that runs through there, all fresh water. Cold, very cold. But, you know, you can dive in, you can swim. There's a swinging rope that you can just swing off of it. And obviously it's tied to a tree. And there's several different places, like you can be a smart, safe person. And just like where the rope is at, pull it in, swing out from like that ledge right there. Or you can be like everybody else who climbs up the tree and swings right off of that. But with it being one of like this really wet, muddy place, which was fun to play in the mud and all of that. And I posted that on Twitter. It gets really slippery. And so somebody somewhere, some kind citizen, on the side of this tree, there's these little planks, I guess they are. I don't know what the correct term is. They're not 2x4s because they're smaller than that. Like basically the tips of your toes can grab onto it to climb up the side of the tree. But with it being so muddy and wet, it gets slippery when there's so many people doing it. So the first time I slipped off and I fell, and my best friend's husband, my second best friend, tried to catch me. He hurt himself, and like I already had so much momentum from falling that like I just like, okay, we're just gonna swing out with it. After I fell the first time, I still swung out, and that was all good, kind of. But I'm stubborn. I'm like, I'm gonna get up this tree. second time. And I told everybody, it's like, okay, I fall, don't catch me because I don't want anybody getting hurt. Yeah, so I fell by myself the second time out of the tree. And yeah, I got a little bit scraped up there, but it was still fun. I mean, I can still laugh. Granted, at like mid-30s here, we shouldn't be climbing and falling out of trees.
Right.
So that was just out having fun, just out in the wilderness there.
Well, as long as you had fun, that's what counts.
Yeah. I did. I had a lot of fun. It was good. And, you know, having kids there, they're like, just don't follow Auntie. Don't do what Auntie did. Go be smart. But also, like, you know,
go be smart.
Yeah, go be smart. But I mean, just even with that, I mean, kids get hurt. Their instant reaction is to cry, and you know, parents' instant reactions to freak out. But if you can get hurt and just laugh about it, it makes it a whole lot less traumatic.
Yeah,
and it was funny. I mean, I was laughing. I wasn't scared. I was like, my mind was going. I'm like, I'm going to hit the roots of this tree no matter what, and I'm going to hit the ground no matter what. Let's just try not to break anything. And I didn't. I'm good. A little bit, like some scrapes, some bruises, nothing bad. I'm sure me at 45 is probably going to be wondering, like, where did this pain come from? Oh, that's right. At one time, I decided to fall out of a tree.
Right.
That's where I'm at with life. I'm trying to enjoy it where I can.
Nah, that's good. That's good. It's so things are probably calming down a little bit, right? So we're in a new month, a couple of days in a new month.
This the will be best a, month.
The best month. I know why. I know why your birthday is coming up very, very soon. So
yeah, so I can fall out of a tree at 37.
Yeah, I hope you don't continue to fall out of trees and make a habit of that. But it's good to be back on the mic with you. It's been a very interesting couple of weeks. But episode 590, here we are. First things first, I just want to say thank you to the group, the team over at the Iron Lords podcast. They have a dope podcast on YouTube. I was able to be over there a couple of weeks ago. Feels that way. I think the 25th of July, I think that's when that episode aired. We talked about a lot of things in the gaming industry and also FGC, the fighting game community stuff, and the stuff that takes place in that, the mindset that you need to have in the fighting game industry. So that was a pretty dope conversation, among other topics that they had there. So, shout outs to them for the invite. I do appreciate that. I kind of like doing those. It gives me a different, I guess, things to think about when I'm actually not the one worried about if my levels are good and if I'm muted or not, if the show is actually being recorded, right? All the things that you have to think about when you're actually doing the production. But when you don't have to and all you have to do is show up, on a platform that is very, very dope, right? And that aligns with your way of thinking, right? Because I think we have to be mindful of that. It's not every invitation that we're going to accept, but the ones that align with your ideals and constitution, it's just a perfect fit. So that was really good. I really enjoyed that conversation with those guys over there. So shout outs to the entire team over at the Iron Lords podcast. It was pretty, pretty dope. So that's first thing. Yeah. So I just wanted to share some thoughts there. Anything that you've been up to that, I'm aware of things, but, let's just say this. I'll say congratulations now. Okay. Because I'm aware of, some things that I just know that you're going to be amazing as you are, and we'll keep moving from there. Okay, so next thing we got, BBC Tokyo Studio Tour. Were you able to check that out? What did you think about that?
I did. You know what? I think it's kind of cool that they showcase what they're doing and how they're going to, you know, be presenting all of that. It's crazy to see how the Unreal Engine is being used. Because, like, when we hear it as gamers, we think about all the games that's associated with it. We don't think of the production value that it can offer in other venues, in other media. And I wouldn't, honestly, like, until they announced, like, that they were using that, I'm like, for real? Like, that's really impressive. I thought it was really cool how they kind of gave this little breakdown about what they're doing, how it's being shown, even the technology about how it's being used and how they're putting it all together and the camera motions. I thought that was pretty awesome. I think it's also really super helpful, especially for people outside of gaming, where they'd be like, oh, it's built on Unreal Engine that's used for Fortnite, because everybody knows Fortnite, regardless if you play games or not, everybody knows Fortnite. So, and I thought, I just thought that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's I'm really impressed with BBC. I've always have for a long time. Their presentation has always been stellar in so many ways. So to see them show how the set was done and all the green, right, for the king out and all that stuff, I thought that was pretty dope. That they can change the day and time according to what was happening with the actual time of Tokyo and the events that were taking place there. So I think it was pretty cool to see the format. And also it gives encouragement to individuals who use green screens. Because I think depending on the circles that you travel, especially in the gaming industry, some people are for the green screen and some people aren't. But that's just, you know, that's just what it is, gaming industry banter stuff. But seeing it on such a high production scale on how they're able to navigate the sets, as you mentioned, I think it's really good to see that. And it's encouraging for individuals who are building their own type of setting and studio stuff in their home, especially that most of us are home right now still. And we may go back home again if depending what's happening, you know, in the world. So, yeah. But it was pretty dope to see the studio tour and for BBC.
Yeah, I thought that's awesome. And, you know, using or not using a green screen is always personal preference, of course. I've almost primarily used green screen since I was like gifted one in a way. And honestly, I'll be honest here. I'm a little bit lazy sometimes. So it's like there's some people who have really nice background setups. And it actually brings me back to early YouTube. And there's a meme that's about it that still goes around. And it fully applies to streamers, content creators, and where in this meme, like you have the camera view and the angle that it covers. And it looks pristine and clean, but everything that the camera doesn't catch is like this giant mess. Sometimes I don't always have the time or the desire to make my bed, or I still have laundry to put away that's sitting on my bed, not on the sofa. I'm like, I guess I can go and do this, or I can put up a green screen and I can make it all disappear. That's just me. That's like truth. Or you can be smart and you make your room one time, take a picture of it, use your green screen, and that's your background, so people think that you're just like perfectly clean all the time. Sometimes, not all the time, but there's a part during the BBC tour that actually reminded me of a small part of my childhood. This is watching Jim Henson. And I don't remember what this segment was called or what it was a part of, but he was like showcasing green screens. And I thought when I was a kid, like, that is the coolest thing. I think, though, instead of using green, they were using blue to chroma key things out. And I remember him just showcasing this stuff. And I'm like, TV magic is amazing. Never would I thought in my life that I would ever apply that to something.
Yeah. It's really dope. The fact that that they're able to do so much and still have a high quality production. A lot of folks that watch that had no idea that that's what was happening. You know what I mean? I love that. Mm-hmm. I think it's really, really dope.
I thought it was great. And the change of sceneries too. Not just like the day, night and thing, but when they were showcasing that, I guess that walkway, that path, it really blended well, pretty well together. Like it wasn't super, like the background images, what they were overlaying with it wasn't super distracting. It looked beautiful, but it didn't take away from them or what they were talking about.
Right.
That's what I loved. I really don't like it when there's too much going on in the background that you're just distracted.
Yeah, that was really dope. So that was that. As far as gaming stuff, one of the things that I did check out briefly because of all the different things going on, Back 4 Blood, it was good to get back in there for a brief moment. It's a beautiful, beautiful title coming along great. And I don't know what they're doing with Warframe, but that game seems to get better every time I turn it on. I don't even understand what they're doing in that regard, but it is amazing to see. And I'm not even running anything super, you know, amazing as far as my desktop is concerned, but the game just looks amazing. So I just had to mention that. Anything that you're playing lately?
I wish. I so wish.
You wish. You wish what? That you were playing something, or what happened?
So I haven't played anything for myself. With having friends over, obviously I don't like. We get together, we play games that are co-op, a lot of Jackbox. And I gotta say, Jackbox 7, the latest one, is fantastic. It is a lot of fun. There's usually like maybe two of the mini games in there that we like in the previous Jackbox that we don't really go to. Like, 7 only had one, and I think it's called Champed Up. And it's more because you have to draw. And we aren't the best artists, and we're really, my group of friends were really, really particular, and we spend too much time on small details. So don't ever hire us or ever pick us for a team for Pictionary. Like, we try our best, but with these time limits and your screen, especially like your mobile, it's okay. But it's really hard. It's really hard. It wasn't quite enjoyable. And we didn't quite understand the concept. So we didn't go to that one as much. But let me get a list of it. But there was one that we absolutely loved because it kind of had to do with like improvisation, which is something that we haven't done. And it's funny, at the beginning of their stay here, it was like, you know what? We should have an improv night. It'd be a lot of fun. But this game actually had it. Where basically you fill in the blanks to create a title of a talk that you're going to give. Like you're giving a presentation, a little mini TED talk here. And you put in three different possible titles and they get randomly dispersed to the other players and they get to choose one of the three topics that randomly pops up on their screens. And then you have to give a talk about it. And you have an assistant, which is another player that will pick text and photo prompts for you to continue on in this, like, I think it's 7 slide PowerPoint. And you got to wing it on this, like, whatever your topic is, and wing it and hope you stick on it. And the rest of the players can kind of vote if you did a really good job or not. And it's actually just a lot of fun. So we absolutely love that. And that's what I was playing, that Overcooked. But mostly Jackbox. I finally, with my goddaughters, I finally got to play, Unraveled 2, which is a great little platformer puzzle game. And that was a lot of fun. It was enjoyable even for me. Like, the story is really deep. Obviously, I think for some 9-year-olds and 6-year-olds, they don't quite get what's happening in the story, but the gameplay is fun. So, you know, you have these different age ranges that still enjoying the game for what it is in different perspectives. So that's what I've been I've been playing.
Not as though Unravel. I remember that's the red thing, right? And you could use yourself to swing through stuff, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember. I remember the trailer of that. That looks really, really dope. Yeah. So I am not really playing as much Destiny stuff as I would like, but the Halo stuff was really dope. The Halo flight for Halo Infinite, I really enjoyed that. I didn't like the fact that I had to play it on 30 frames per second, but in terms of experiencing that and prepping for the November launch, that's going to be amazing. So the flight for Halo Infinite dealt with playing with bots, and even the bots were somewhat challenging, but it gave you a good I guess sparring type of environment to get familiar with the controls again. So what I really enjoyed about I guess I almost forgot about this one because it's not even here. What I really enjoyed about Halo Infinite and what I played is the fact that it was fast enough to be enjoyable and intense, and it was slow enough for you to capture every bit of the action. It's a very, very fine balance on how they were able to do that. And of course, atmosphere and audio engineering and design is, you know, absolutely amazing from the Halo team for sure. So that was definitely enjoyable for the amount of time that I was able to play that for sure.
You gonna pick it up?
Yeah, I'm going to pick it up for sure. Most of it is free to play to some degree from what I gathered. So there's that coming out. There's also the eFootball from Konami. It used to be PES. So the eFootball, I'll probably pick that up as well. A lot of these games are being free to play so they can add some sort of microtransactions that you can do, right? So at some point, you're going to buy something or buy something a la carte. As they say, you know, especially with Destiny, you just buy stuff for the seasons, whatever that particular season is. Next season is crossplay is going to be introduced finally for Destiny. So I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, so between, you know, I'm pretty, you know, standard when it comes to that stuff. As I mentioned to you before, I'm still waiting for Turtles because I love Turtles. So I'm waiting for that. Shredder's Revenge. Haven't seen any light of that yet. Streets of Rage 4 is still pretty good. I think there was a news that was it Focus Interactive bought .emu, the people that made the Streets of Rage 4. So that was interesting thing that I briefly saw in the news. I have to verify that. But there's still a lot of things that are fun to play. And for me at this point, it's just enjoying games that just allow you to just chill and just go through the process, right? It doesn't have to be anything super competitive, but if you want to do competitive, you can. But what I will say, since we always say that the show is going to be an hour and it seems like we talk more than we need to, whatever the case is that the new Xbox controller, because I've always had the old one for the Xbox One, the new Xbox controller is absolutely fantastic. I'm not saying that because they sent it to me. That's not the point. The point is the D-pad on the new Xbox controller is so well done. I feel like I can use that controller and not necessarily focus on playing with like a super controller, you know, with bells and whistles and stuff like that. The standard controller in terms of the clickability, I don't know if what you call that these days. I'm not trying to use fancy terms here, but it just feels very good in terms of when you're putting the inputs into the game, and they feel extremely accurate. And even with the Xbox One, the original Xbox One, the menu system, the dashboard was revamped, and it's much faster because, you know, I haven't used it in a long time. So just going back and just making some updates in that regard, because I had to play Halo on the Xbox One, everything seems to be much more modern and, you know, cleaned up, you know, and faster and less sluggish, you know, and the design of the dashboard and things like that. So I'm just happy about that and just enjoying platforms. But of course, you know, we have some things to talk about, which I might add, we have to add this in here. before the wrap up. So I'm going to add it real time. We have to talk about the Steam Deck. Looking for the best VPN in the world? Your search is over. From the makers of Proton Mail comes Proton VPN, the best free VPN in the world. Proton VPN is Swiss-based, has a no-locks policy, offers the highest strength encryption, strong VPN protocols, and all apps are open source and audited. To try Proton VPN for free, visit andrew-alliance.com/tools. Once again, that's andrew-alliance.com/tools. We have to talk about that. We can't leave the show without talking about that. So that's all I have. Any thoughts on any of those things? And we'll go to the next thing.
You've been playing more than me. Okay. You're going to be so ashamed of me.
Why?
I got to look back and see what games I bought over the last 5 months. You know, the 5 months I haven't been playing anything else for myself.
Okay.
Because I know I bought games and I don't remember what they are right now.
I mean, but you have them.
I do have them. I just got to go and see what I bought.
Yeah.
No, they're games that that released over these last couple months. I definitely know that Ace Attorney is definitely in that list. Pretty sure Little Nightmares 2 is in that list. Tribes of Midgard. There's a lot. I know there's a lot. I know there's got to be at least 10. And I don't know what I was thinking when I bought them, because like in my mind, I'm going to play that. I'm going to buy this. I'm going to play it. Oh, wait, I don't have time right now. I'll get to it. Yeah, it's 5 months right now. But I absolutely love my best friends, my chosen family, I finally feel like I have a chance to breathe and to catch up on so many things. Like right now, like, you know, I still got year that I do. So yeah, and I'm pretty sure I bought some VR games too, because Cooking Simulator came out and I was super excited about that. Ooh, you know what I did not tell you that I bought, which I only just set up last night?
What's that?
I bought the Elgato face cam.
Oh, okay. All right. So
I still need to mess around with it and find that right setting that I'm happy with, because of course, you know, I'm creating a schedule for myself that I plan on sticking to as best as I possibly humanly can.
Okay, so quick impressions though?
Yeah. So I can do a quick impression. This thing is big.
Okay.
Like, I know I saw the pictures of it. Like, I bought it the day they announced. The day that they had Elgato had their whole announcement with everything that they're coming out with. That is one thing I'm like, this is great. I mean, it was $200. I had a discount code that dropped it down to like $170. So I got $30 off. The shipping was incredibly fast. But when I got it, I was like, wow. This thing is like three of my Logitech C920s. Cause it's pretty hefty, which makes it feel really nice and solid. But coming from the C920 and looking at it, it's a little bit intimidating.
Okay. So it's 4K.
Like, I feel like
4K up to what? I'm sure it's 4K. 4K up to what? 30 or 60? If you recall. Put you on the spot right now. But if
I do not recall instantly. Okay. Right now. Let me look this up.
Okay. Cool.
I think I have it currently set at 1080 60 frames.
Okay.
But it does come with the Sony Sarva CMOS sensors. And just straight out of the box, hooking it up, I had to sacrifice, and I'm probably going to have to do this intermittently. So you do absolutely have to use the USB 3.0. Like, it will not recognize that it's connected if you try to attach it to anything else, which makes sense because that's the lowest latency. That's the best that you can have it, you know, have the best look response. I still tried it on my other USB ports, but right now all my USB 3.0 ports are being used for my VR setup. So even if I'm recording video or streaming VR, I don't actually use my primary camera.
Yeah.
I think it's a C922, which I'm looking to upgrade that too. So it's not that big of a deal. I just have to unplug it, put that port back in for my sensor. But straight out of the box, just looking it up and just messing around with the Elgato camera hub, huge difference in video quality.
I'm surprised it's not 4K. It's 1080p 60, 1080p 30, 720 60, 720 30, and 540 60, 540 30. I'm surprised. I am shocked. I thought it would be...
I don't remember looking. I'm looking at the Elgato camera hub thing right now, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm on the website.
Think if you want 4K video out of a webcam, going to be a higher price point than $200. That you might as well get a mirrorless DSLR. Which, funny enough, like before I made this purchase, before they even made this announcement, I was bouncing between a couple Sony cameras still, but they were like in the $800 range for like basic lens, camera body, just for those two things. It's like the $800 range. Oh, and the dummy battery that you need for it.
Gotcha.
So when they announced this one, I'm like, all right, I can throw $200 in there. Check this out, because I really liked what they had. It was an impulse purchase, because obviously I bought it shortly after they announced it, so it's not like too much thought went into it.
Right.
But it was something that I was willing to gamble on. I really do love Elgato products, just not all of their products. Like, I don't care for their capture cards. I'm probably going to be AverMedia till forever.
Okay.
I love their Stream Deck. Their key lights, I think, is a bit overpriced. I think the clamp arms that they have are a bit overpriced, but I do love their green screen. So I felt like I can take the gamble on the face cam. So far right now, initial impressions, I really do like it. I still gotta mess around with it as far as, you know, using it with XSplit, trying it out, tweaking it, especially the way that I want my lighting, and, you know, seeing different profiles for the times I want to use a green screen and the times that I don't, because that's a whole different lighting setup right there. Not necessarily setup, but like brightness and levels that you've got to make adjustments for. It has a really, really wide view, which is like, I think, 82 degrees. It zooms in really close. Of course, with any camera, especially for our webcam, when you zoom in, you got a lot of noise, static in there. That's normal. That's seen in there. But when you're zoomed out, you got this full screen, it's super smooth. It looks great. It's just like night and day between the C920, which I think is like the basic starter pack of cameras for all content creators, and the face cam. Would I suggest people jump straight to the face cam if they're starting off? No, because I still think that the C920 offers a lot for the amount that you pay for. And it's super easy to adjust on that. And I've had the C920 for what feels like forever.
Yeah, I mean, it's still like an all-star choice, right, to start out. I don't hear anybody saying anything bad about the C920. It is like a legendary camera at this point.
It is. Like, and I would never, ever suggest anybody spend more than, like, I think $80 for the Logitech, the C920. Like, the price is really extremely vary, especially if you're buying it from Amazon. because the prices go up when their stock is low. And I've seen them for like over $100. No, don't. Like, I think I bought mine for around $40, and that wasn't even a lightning deal. That was just paying attention to the prices.
Yeah, no, it's definitely. And the other thing I was thinking about too is, as I was saying, the thing about 4K is like not a lot of folks are streaming that anyway, right? So they understand their market and how they're releasing stuff. So I think they have, yeah, they do have a 4K camera on the market, but actually, no, that's another company. I'm thinking, I don't know why I'm thinking the same companies. At any rate, 1080p is still the main thing that we see on most of these platforms anyway. I'll digress there.
Yeah, pretty much, especially if you're doing like video gameplay. Like, I personally don't think you need 4K for like this cropped out video of yourself that doesn't take up the whole screen. If you're doing like product reviews, unboxings, or, you know, your normal YouTube content of videos and how to's, I can understand eventually going to 4K and having a crystal clear video for those things. Gaming, not so much.
Yeah, it's all good. So I appreciate the quick impressions. I definitely want to hear more about that for sure. Definitely want to hear more about that for sure. Next thing we got is Hideo Kojima says he's worried about the a future without physical media. And I thought this was really interesting to bring this to the table, because it's, you know, some folks prefer digital media, some folks prefer physical media. We're at a point between the pandemic and coming out of the pandemic and maybe going back into some kind of lockdown, where there's still a need for both things. Some individuals feel like they're losing a lot of their, custody because they won't have physical media because of the digital takeover, if you will, if you want to call it that. But others feel differently. So I'm just going to read this particular quote from Hideo Kojima, and then we can open up the discussion here. So it says, eventually, even digital data will no longer be owned by individuals on their own initiative. Whenever there's a major change or accident in the world, in a country, in a government, in an idea, and a trend, access to it may suddenly be cut off, he added. So he's talking about CDs will be gone soon. When I think about it, I will still buy them, even though I have them in bulk. This is Kojima. Thoughts on that? And then we'll chop it up a little bit on this. What do you think?
I agree with him there. I mean, having digital media is really great for the ease of use, for space, not hard drive space, but physical space. But that's kind of why I stick with like having a physical media. And that's why I almost exclusively buy physical copies of things. Not only do I not want brick and mortar stores to go away, I actually still like them. I mean, whether the game shop or comic book shop is a mom and pop owned one, or even a major outlet like GameStop, I don't want them to go away. I still like that experience. I like that interaction. And at my GameStop, I do like the people that I see there. You know, it's nice, it's welcoming, and it's just an experience of itself. But I do agree that at some point, I think if something happens, like all of this digital stuff that you have that relies, you know, being confirmed with, you know, whatever service servers to confirm, like you have the license to play this, like, where does it go? What is going to happen?
Right.
But I also understand the debate that eventually over time, even physical media, you know, it through wear and tear, especially when it comes to DVDs, Blu-rays, CDs, you can't keep using them. unless you're a Super Nintendo cartridge where you just clean the contacts and you're good. But I don't want to see a future that is fully digital. I think that that will be my old person thing that will forever be me.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? The quote continues, "We will not be able to freely access the movies, books, and music that we have loved." That's kind of weird how this is phrased. The translation is kind of weird. That's what I'm afraid of. This is not greed, it says. This was posted on August 5th. But yeah, so the other point that the article makes in regards to this stuff is the fact that a lot of the physical media still needs to be somewhat activated by, they're not independent in and of themselves. Like when we have to connect, we have to put the disc into the machine or whatever. And then there's still some kind of activation that needs to happen, even with some of the games that we're playing now to access the next things, right? So it's not fully independent, depending on what you get, especially if you're getting a physical media that needs to be activated in some way, shape, or form. I'm using the word activation very loosely here. So I just wanted to bring that point up. So for example, for me, I play Destiny and, you know, games like Warframe and stuff like that, all digital. I need to go online. And if there's a major change, then I can't play the game anymore, right? If something happens to my digital files and they think that there's an anti-cheating thing or I'm violating that in some way, shape, or form, that's it, right? And I think that there's all these different things that could happen, even if you're the innocent party as you're just trying to access the files or the game itself. So it's definitely, I don't think the transition is going to happen right away where the physical media is going to automatically disappear. I think it's going to take some time, especially the world is still recovering from the pandemic and what that's going to look like for us wearing masks in the next, you know, 2+ years. If that.
I wanted to say, and I'm not 100% sure about this, so somebody can fact check me, but I feel like the games that require some back end, you know, activation for digital or not digital, but physical media, I definitely feel that's more applied for games that are in a multiplayer PvP aspect.
Okay.
Rather than, you know, a solo game that's a story. Like, I feel like that's where that is. That even if I don't have internet connection, I have my physical media, that I can still put it in and play it. I probably have a bunch of bugs in it because that is just the norm of big day one updates here to patch whatever bugs is left in the game. Right. I see what he's saying and I agree with it because that's how I feel. That's just exactly why I stick with it. I don't necessarily buy Blu-rays and DVDs anymore just because I have streaming services. But that might go away one day. You never know. The internet might crash and then what happens? The biggest place that I'll probably lose the most games that I actually purchased, not just through a subscription service, would probably be Steam. If Steam, for whatever reason, shuts down, yeah, all my games I bought through there, they're not DRM free. That's all gone. That's like 400 plus games gone.
Yeah, that could be a problem.
So I get it, but I still do buy books. I love that experience still. I love the way that games feel, or not games, but books feel in my hand. I love the way they smell. I love turning the page. I love the sound of the paper, all of that. I can't picture it without.
Yeah, It's going to be interesting. Definitely want to bring that to the table. There's UK stats here. 2/3 of games sold in the UK last year were purchased digitally, an increase of 74% over 2019. I just wanted to toss that stat there. Wondering if they have any. I didn't see anything for US stats on this particular page, but I'm definitely curious for that as well. So definitely interesting topic there for that one. Wanted to bring that one to the table for sure. Next thing that we have is I want to hear your thoughts on this. I don't have many thoughts on this. Gearbox canceled Duke Nukem Begins. There was a trailer on that. Thoughts on that, and we'll go from there.
Okay, so considering the trailer was from over a decade ago.
Yeah.
13 years ago. Visually, it matches. But it looks like it would have been a really great game. So I'm hoping by, this person putting it out, I think on the on the YouTube channel, it's Gregor Punchatz, who at that time was the director at Janimation, who created that. I hope he does get eyes on it and it gets revived, because, if it really isn't third person, first of all, I'm there. Second, it had a showcase, co-op for players. I'm like, who doesn't want to experience Duke Nukem with their friends like that? Like, that just sounds awesome. It's a bummer. So I really do hope that, the excitement's there, that, Duke Nukem fans or even possible new fans kind of really hype it up for that consideration for a studio.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we're going to pick this up. We're going to fund this, make it happen. Gaming community has spoken. I'm still holding out that somebody picks up Scalebound. Okay. So I have to wait 13 years for it. I will.
It's interesting, right? So I was looking at this Duke Nukem Begins canceled footage, and I wasn't really impressed. And I know it's dated, and I'm trying to figure out why I wasn't impressed. Maybe I was expecting something more entertaining. It was very, very just blah to me, And I'd much rather play the original game than that. It's weird. Like, I wasn't really excited about it while watching the trailer. And really? I was like, even with the part where they showed you can add additional players and stuff and then just kind of go crazy with the monsters and stuff like that. I was just like, all right, cool. But it's me. It's not for me. That's what I've concluded. That experience is not for me. There are certain experiences that I'll even watch certain experiences by way of stream things, but I wouldn't even watch that if somebody was streaming it. But that's me. That's me. That's all I got there. Not very positive. I'll play the first ones. I'll play Doom before I play this.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I can understand.
Yeah, I'll play Doom before I play this. So that's all I have there. Xbox Gamescom Showcase, August 24th. What is this for? Okay, cool. Yeah, that's all I have there. Are you excited for it? Looking for something, anything in particular? What are your thoughts right now?
I don't know. When it comes to showcases, I'm at this point where I'm just open to anything, really. Hoping, I guess there's always that hope that something surprises me.
Okay.
And I try not to, especially now, because I want to be surprised. And now, which makes it really hard because, you're on these email lists for different studios about what's coming up, what they're going to be announcing. They have all that media emails that go out. And it's great to know what's coming up, but sometimes I also like the surprise of just something unexpected.
Okay.
And really, the last thing, which might have, which is still somewhat of a blunder, but really, honestly, the last thing that really caught me off guard like that really was the announcement of Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
Like, you just capture that feeling again of being surprised, or even just like before all of this, even just like growing up as a kid, just being surprised by any announcements. So I try so hard not to dive into too deep, but when you have a podcast, you kind of need to know what's coming up and what's happening, especially when you want to stay on top of it.
Exactly.
So it's a weird balance.
Exactly. I agree. I definitely agree there. So 100% virtual experience. You can tune in all over the world. You're going to have in-depth updates of the studio titles. And let me see what it says here. And including some of the incredible titles coming to Xbox this holiday, upcoming releases, and to our monthly subscription service, Xbox Game Pass, and much more. You can watch the show on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, Gaming, Twitter, and select regional sites like VK.com in Russia and Bilibili in China. So those are some of the things there. We plan to offer support for 30 languages along with our English audio descriptions and American Sign Language. So that's what's happening. And this is happening on the 24th. So look for that on the 24th. Go ahead.
For anything that's not new, just something that I'm looking forward to right now, I don't, nothing that comes to my mind at the moment.
Yeah.
Because I'm definitely a little bit tapped out on games. Because I know if there's something that I'm looking forward to, I'm going to buy it day one. So it's really good right now that nothing's coming to my mind. But I'm pretty sure the stuff that I want, I have it on some wish list or pre-order somewhere.
Okay. The only thing I'm really waiting for right now is Turtles Shredder's Revenge. That's all I want. I want the classic go back, scroll them, side scrolling, beat 'em up type titles. That's what I'm waiting for. And I haven't heard anything being announced yet. I see, you know, I believe I did see Focus Interactive partner or purchase.emu. So that's the thing that caught my eye. And yeah, so that's all I'm really waiting for. But aside from that, additional Xbox news, Xbox Cloud Gaming is now available on PC via the Xbox app. Any thoughts on that?
I haven't tried it yet.
Okay. All right, Focus Interactive.
You got to fill me in on this whole cloud gaming thing. So,
go ahead.
Never mind. It just clicked in my head. I got it. Never mind.
Okay, cool.
Not going to ask that question and put myself on blast there.
No, it's all good.
No, I haven't tried it yet. I want to see what the difference is, especially for the games. Because I have the Game Pass Ultimate for myself. So to see, I guess, low times experience, the difference between me installing it on my computer and then how they're going to have this cloud, that'll be the real test there. See how that goes. Hopefully my internet is good enough. I haven't tried it on my mobile device. I need to upgrade my phone.
Yeah.
Not that my 9 Plus is bad, but definitely showing its age and being a bit sluggish here.
So this is a big deal.
One of the fancy attachments.
I wasn't imagining this. I wasn't imagining the Focus Home Interactive thing. Okay. So this was 5 days ago. One of the biggest indie studios for throwback retro style games. As part of the deal, Focus Home will get a 77.5% controlling share of .emu for 38.5 million euros. Okay, so I wasn't imagining this. Yeah, that's just a couple of change. The arrival of .emu marks a key step in the acceleration of the group's growth and in the diversification of its expertise by enriching our editorial. Okay, yeah, you know, that kind of talk. So So that did happen. That is a big deal. Wanted to throw that in our news, and our news keeps getting longer and longer by the minute. So let's toss this in here somewhere. So Focus, Home Interactive, and Interactive X dot EMU. Okay, so throw that in there. So Microsoft is currently testing a night mode feature for Xbox, which will dim your screen, disable HDR, and let you filter out blue light. Any thoughts on that, Daniela?
I guess I'm just gonna have to try it out on my boyfriend's Xbox. I don't personally have one. My PC is my Xbox. That's okay. How great the Game Pass is. Not that I would pass up if the opportunity arose for me to pick up my own. So that's a good thing, I guess, for night mode features.
Okay.
I got nothing.
Okay. All right. That's all good. All right. We'll go to the next one. We got a few more and then we'll wrap. We feel a little rusty. We're getting back in the groove here. So Rift Tour featuring Ariana Grande. Did you watch?
I didn't go to it then and there. I didn't jump into game or anything, but yes, I did watch.
Okay.
And the one thing that, even though I'm broken, I've been Battle Royale, specifically Fortnite free for like 2 years, and I'm proud of myself for that. The one thing that they do just amazing is the different events that they have.
Right. Like, agreed.
It's crazy, and it's such an experience to jump into and to be there. I mean, they're short-ish, but it's like this whole event, and it's just like, it's artwork. It's exactly that. It is just art. It is interactive art that you get to play in. Then the last one I got to do was for Marshmello, and that was crazy. It was a lot of fun. So the videos that you can watch, yeah, it's great, but it's nothing like if you can just go and experience it yourself. I think the only thing that could elevate it to a whole other level is if I could actually like experience it in VR at the same time. I think that would be absolutely mind-blowing. And Fortnite just does such an amazing job putting on these events.
They really do. So I think I'm going to admit this. I am a really, really big Ariana Grande fan. I don't know when that happened, but I think I'm going to start admitting that, because one thing I noticed is like when it comes to pure vocals, pure talent vocals, no special effects on top of the vocals, in a concert setting, there is barely anybody that can compete with Ariana Grande. Managing your income stream should not be a hassle. That's why I use Catch Financial. As an independent, Catch allows you to manage your income streams on autopilot, prepare your taxes, and more. To get set up on Catch, visit andrew-alliance.com/tools. Once again, that's andrew-alliance.com/tools. And I could be challenged on that. There's practically nobody that can compete with her. With vocals. That's how good she is. So I'm trying to figure out like why it seems like she's underrated in that regard. But there's almost no competition for her, for pure vocals. So if go ahead.
That's not fighting words for me, but I feel somebody that's listening probably is some fighting words for
that's,
them.
That's fine. But if the sounds went off, if like the thing that happened to Mariah Carey when all the sounds kind of like started messing up and stuff like that, and at some point in your career, and I'm going to navigate this like a little slow here because, you know, I know that I could already feel people getting offended. All right. at some point in your career, you get to a point where everybody knows that your vocals are amazing and you may not necessarily have to try that hard anymore because you've arrived, right? Mm-hmm. So there's been situations with mega stars where things have happened to the sound system and they've had, whether they were prepared or not for that day, they had to figure it out and it didn't go quite as well as they thought it would have, right? For Ariana Grande, I don't think she can ever have that problem because she doesn't need it. And even at the stage of her game right now, she's still performing as if she's not on top. You see what I'm saying? So there's a difference when somebody arrives and they just kind of like coast. And there's some, whereas the other part where somebody is still climbing, even though they know that they've reached a peak where they don't have to climb anymore. That's what I see. So I'm going to land there. I really enjoyed the Riff tour featuring Ariana Grande. I'm a fan.
Shouldn't be ashamed to admit that you're a fan.
I'm a fan.
I can't say there's specifically one musical artist that I think is absolutely stunning. I know there's a lot that I'm a fan of, but to have one that is like the end all be all that I think is just amazing regardless, I can't say.
There's not a lot of them.
I mean, I can be biased and say it's my cousin, but...
I mean, you can, sure. But there's not a lot of them. You know, it's like, you know, pure talent. Like, her documentary is on Netflix. So, I mean, I think there's a start there. If it's, I think it should still be there. But yeah, pure talent, doesn't need anything other than her own instrument, which is a voice, which is rare these days with everybody putting special effects on top of their stuff. So... But yeah, that was really dope to watch. I was trying to figure out like why I wanted to watch it. I guess I wanted to experience what people somewhat experience when they're actually playing the experience, right? Because that's different, right? But watching the video from start to finish was really great where you are part of that experience. It's designed in such a way where even though you're not... at a concert, but you are participating in the experience of that concert experience within the game, which is amazing. You know, I've never seen anything like that for Fortnite. That was my first one. I know they've done previous ones, but I think that was really dope. And I'll probably watch some other ones if I like the artist. So we'll see.
I gotta say though, I think it's still available. But if you can, if you just install Fortnite just to do that, you gotta jump in and you gotta experience it like 100%. At least try it out.
Try what out like exactly?
It. Just the concert, just jump in and just experience it.
Okay, so they have it right now that you can jump in. Is it still available? Or I thought it was like a time thing.
I think it might be a time. Well, let me go and double check about that.
Yeah.
Because I know over the past there are certain things like you had to be there. But then they started kind of changing it so that it happened a couple different times.
Right. For people to show up and stuff like that. Yeah, if it's a timed exclusive stuff, but it was really dope. So my thing is I watched the video and I was just like, this is pretty dope. I really enjoyed that. And they picked some good tracks also, you know, some of the singles that are doing really well. So, but yeah, so I'm excited for the Streets of Rage, team, but I really want Turtles right now. That's what's up. That's where I'm at. So yeah, let me know if it's a time exclusive. I have to check how much space I have on my hard drive and where I would put it. Install Fortnite again.
I don't think you can. You can do the post show quest, but I don't think you can.
Okay, it's all good. But yeah, I watched it. I really enjoyed it, and I look forward to future versions of those things inside of Fortnite. So The Witcher. Nightmare of the Wolf trailer. What did you think about that?
It's on my list and I'm waiting for it to come out.
Yeah.
where I'm at with that.
It looks really good. I'm surprised.
One thing that I happen to somehow find time to do is watch shows, which is really bizarre. But then again, I'm watching shows as I'm working. I'm watching shows as I'm doing stuff and trying to complete stuff. And I'm still on an anime binge. So I liked it.
Yeah.
I'm pleasantly surprised that I am like a huge no everything super fan of Witcher itself. I appreciate it. I don't know the games like that, but like the live action TV show, TV series, I really enjoy that. I love the world it puts you in. So having an anime and with its own story and going out of that, I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm surprised that so right now what's happening for me, I'm really taking the time to take some notes of things I want to catch up on. I definitely want to see Suicide Squad. I definitely want to see Fast and Furious 9. I definitely want to check out the Switcher thing, but that's not till what, September, right? Or
yeah, it's later,
something like that, right? And then I really want to catch up on these shows and some documentaries that I've been putting off. Make time to catch up. But The Witcher, Nightmare of the Wolf, I'm really excited about. Surprisingly, I was like, okay, cool. I see what they're doing here. And it looks like it's going to be a fantastic series for sure. So I'm down with that.
Don't even get me started on the movies. There's a whole bunch of movies I want to watch. I haven't watched. I'm terrible. I talked about it a lot on Twitter, but I have not watched Black Widow yet. Although what? I'm still super proud of it. I'm still super, super proud of it and my cousin, because if you watch the movie and the opening scene, you have a cover of Smells Like Teen Spirit. That is my cousin. And I am glad that she's getting so much recognition that she deserves, because she's an incredibly hard worker. I absolutely love her voice. I love the dark mood that she puts on things. It's her own specific, you know, style that she's worked on.
What's the Spotify link or something like that? Can you share with me and then I'll add it to the notes?
Yeah. She's done some songs for like TV shows, but nothing on like such a huge scale as a Marvel movie. So I'm glad that she's finally getting that love, that appreciation, that spotlight for it. And I tell her that the first thing is like, I messaged her. I'm like, I'm so proud of you. I'm so happy. Oh, I will be. Oh, I'm like just her biggest fan. But, yeah, so I want to watch Black Widow. I want to watch Suicide Squad. I want to watch Jungle Cruise. Fast is not on my list. I'm so sorry.
You're not sorry. You're not sorry. So yeah, I added the entry to the notes. So just link that, and then we'll have it there, and I'll check it out as well.
But yeah, there's some stuff on there, and of course I'm talking about my cousin, like you guys know what her name is. It's Malia J. that's what it is. I'm sorry, I saw you write that. I'm like, I realized I didn't even say her name. Malia J. She did Smells Like Teen Spirit. So that is her singing, that is her cover. So stoked on her for that.
Awesome.
But so yeah, like,
Go ahead.
I gotta ask you about movies though here. So there's a few movies that are coming out that aren't coming to streaming services, like on the release. They're going to be strictly in the movie theaters. Like Free Guy is one of them. Respect, I believe, is also one of them.
Yes. Send me the thing so I can check out the trailers. You said Respect is one. What was the first one?
Free Guy. That's the one with
Ryan Reynolds. Yeah, I mean, I'll probably check that out.
Yeah, and he plays the NPC. Yeah, that's that's all strictly released to only theater. It's not going to be in a streaming service. And I'm like, really? Even in our state of things, these cases are going up.
Yeah.
I understand that a lot of places are opening up, and I understand that nobody wants to be going back into lockdown.
But yeah.
Like, that option is huge.
Yeah, but you see AMC is adding like Bitcoin for payments. So the world is still alive and well, and people are still going to be able to do whatever. So it's not closing all the way. I think people are still going to try to be out and about.
I first of all, I lost my movie theater because of COVID, so I don't have one. So there's no real way for me to be able to watch these movies.
Hmm.
But Respect is the movie about Aretha Franklin. I want to watch that one.
Oh, R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. That's a good watch. I need to see that.
It's an absolutely.
Just on the name alone, I need to see it.
So I'm pretty bummed about that. Shang-Chi, that's not going to be on Disney. I get my Asian superhero, but I can't watch them on Disney. Candyman, I think is also not that. It's a horror movie, so I know that you're not too concerned about.
You already know. You already know.
I want to watch it, and as far as I can, I saw that's not going to be on any streaming services.
Okay.
But yeah, I think for Disney Plus, I think Jungle Cruise was the last one that's going to be on there.
Okay.
At least as far as I know for right now. Suicide Squad is at least going to be on HBO, so I'm not too worried about it. But yeah.
Suicide Squad.
A little bit bummed. I want that option. I don't care. I honestly, and this is from even from like Mulan, which I don't mind paying the $30. Yeah, I can understand people's arguments. I'm paying for this streaming service. Why do I got to pay for this movie? Well, it's no different for me. I see it as it's no different from paying to go see it in theaters. Except that I can pay $30 and watch it with like 10 people in my room. Or my living room. We all save money. It's okay. Pay $3 each person. If you really want to split it, not that big of a deal.
I have no problem saving money.
Yep. Nope. And you're still getting my money for me to watch it. But yeah, there's that. I mean, like, what are your thoughts on that? You think they should give that as an option? Are you going to your theater anytime soon to watch any movies?
I'm not going to my theater to watch any movies anytime soon. Maybe. I don't know. That sounded like finite, but as I'm thinking about it, I wouldn't mind if everybody's like 6 feet away from each other. The theater experience is not bad. What did I just watch recently at a theater? Jason Statham's recent movie. I saw that at the theaters, and it was just us, you know, all masks. It was a men's group outing. You know, we were, you know, distance, you know, social distance and all that stuff. We watched it. The theater was rented out for just us, so that kind of helped, right? So there's ways to go around it. But I don't have to go to the theaters. You know, at some point, those things will make it to the digital platform anyway. You know, if we're willing to wait for those experiences, I don't think that's such a bad deal, right? And yeah, there's, let me digress. But I'm not in a rush. But yet, there's ways to watch those experiences if you wait, right? Because they're going to end up on a digital service at some point.
And that's where streaming services have spoiled people like myself, because you're so used to now this on demand. Here it is.
Yes. It's a beautiful life.
Now I don't have it. Now you're going to tell me I have to wait. I don't even remember how long I have to wait for things to come to streaming services.
Well, I mean,
Even if it's a month, that's too long.
Look at the bright side. You're still waiting to play some games now, right?
Yeah, I know.
That's what I'm saying. So it's by the time you turn around, the movie will be on digital platforms that you can access.
Yeah, but then you have to avoid any spoilers and people ruining it and people wanting to talk about it.
And that's fine. We could do that. We could do
I don't want to be spoiled. There's people, I don't want people talking about it. I'd like, you know, many different things I have to mute out on social media so that I don't get spoiled. It's a long list.
It is a long list. There's a movie series called Why. All the dudes die except one, and then all the ladies have to figure out how to save the world. Did you see that?
Oh, Why the Last Man? And I'm based off the comic book. Yes, I'm excited. I'm so excited. When they announced that they were going to be making this as live action, like, I don't know how many years ago.
I didn't even know it was a comic book.
I was stoked. And it's so soon. It is like right there.
Yeah. So that looks good.
There.
And then the new Venom, Carnage, right? That looks good. That looks fantastic.
It doesn't look bad. I guess I'm
it just for sheer entertainment that we're getting some of the biggest comic book things on the big screen. That's all I see. I know people are like, story arc, connection to this, that. I don't care. I'm getting Venom and Carnage on the screen at the same time, and it looks like they looked on the comics. I'm okay. I don't need anything else besides that. Yeah, decent story, you know, some laughs here and there, entertainment, cool. But I think the fact that we're getting such big characters and, you know, I didn't even know Why was a comic book thing. That's pretty dope to know that. I think that's dope. I just want the entertainment or the option to watch it. That's it.
Well, if you ever get to read the comic, Why the Last Man is a really great one. It's really good. So I'm really, really hoping that the live action adaptation to it is. I'm trying to maintain realistic expectations, but I'm so excited.
No, it looks good. I'm new to it, but it looks fantastic.
I'm glad that it's here finally. That's all.
No, it looks amazing. So I'm glad that we're able to get dope things like that and enjoy them for sure. Last but not least, and then we'll begin wrapping up, Steam Deck. Daniela, thoughts on that?
I debated. There's a brief moment where I debated if I was going to get it, but the pre-order was only $5.
Yeah, I don't have a pre-order.
And I got time.
You got time. You got plenty of time.
I got plenty of time. I got till estimated Q2 of next year.
Yeah.
But I did pre-order the bigger version.
So you're ordering the 512 gigabyte version? That's the one?
Yep.
Okay.
That's the one.
Fastest storage, premium anti-glare etched glass, exclusive carrying case, exclusive Steam community profile bundle, exclusive virtual keyboard theme. You know what? I'm excited for this, but I don't even have money on it. I'm excited for this because this is probably the first handheld that meets every need on paper, and it syncs all the things that I play now on Steam. So if you love Steam, this is like a godsend for you. Thoughts?
Is it really?
I think so. What's not on Steam right now? Aside from the things that aren't on Steam, what isn't on Steam right now? I know that's a broad question. Everything is on Steam for the most part. And if it's not on Steam, it's going to be on Steam. Everything from the new eFootball by Konami to the games PlayStation is putting on the platform to... I'm sure Back 4 Blood is going to be on there. You name it. Halo is going to be on there. You're going to have it at your fingertips on this platform. You know, Q2 2022. I mean, the lowest...
And that's that's what really is the saving grace about it.
Which is what?
Because, okay, so if it was only Steam and Steam only, yeah, there's a lot of things that you can get on Steam. Like, the library on there is insane.
Right.
What really, really kind of sold me on this is that it is a PC. It is a handheld PC. And they already tell you that you can install third-party software and operating systems on it.
Exactly.
So the modding that's going to be coming with it, the options that are available to you.
The emulators.
Huge. Ooh, it grows baby. Exponentially. Now, here's the other thing too. If it's not on Steam, and if you have PlayStation, a PlayStation subscription, or even like PS Now, or the Xbox Game Pass, you can then install that on there. And then you got the Xbox Cloud in your hand.
That's what I'm saying.
Right there. So that was a huge selling point for me. The fact that they're leaving it open for users to have that option to do that with it. Done.
I can't, what? Oh my gosh. I can't even believe. I'm pulling a Daniela right now. Hold on a second. Hold on.
It was only a $5 reservation that I can change my mind later.
I'm pulling a Daniela right now. I can't believe I'm doing this. Wait a second. Anything else you want to share?
That was a huge thing when that was open knowledge, free knowledge to know that you can do this with the Steam Deck. Sold. I'm there. Obviously, I had to get the 512 gigs because I
can't believe I'm doing this.
Why wouldn't I?
Oh my gosh.
It's $649.
You're bad.
It's gonna be with you. Nostalgia factor. And I know I tweeted about this. I put that out there. It really reminds me of my Sega Game Gear. That thing was a brick and a half with the same battery life on 6 AA batteries. And my Sega Game Gear went through, it was a battery eater.
Oh like man!
Nobody's business. It still is a battery eater.
You made me do
and
it.
And this the Steam Deck has such a wide range for battery life of 2 to 8 hours. Like, yeesh. But then I just did it. Like, how much do I spend as a handheld if I'm just going out with my Switch? I don't think I spend more than 2 hours on my Switch at any single point without, you know, taking a break and just charging it just because. I don't even exactly know what the battery life on my Switch is. But, you know, I guess 2 to 8 hours isn't so bad. I'm sure that has to do with how graphic and intensive the game that you're playing with. I would assume if you're playing games like Cyberpunk, 30-minute battery life.
Yeah, this is... So I did what you did when you were ordering your PlayStation. I just pre-ordered this thing. You sold me. You sold me. As I was talking about it with you, I'm like, okay, let me just do it.
Yep. There you go. It's only $5. You got time to think about it. You can cancel it.
I got time to think about it for sure. But it looks
$50 a month.
Yeah. It looks amazing.
For the next year.
For the next year, exactly. It looks amazing though. But yeah, Steam Deck, handheld gaming computer developed by Valve Corporation. That's expected to be released December of 2021, shipping stuff by Q2022. And yeah, I think that's our show. Any final thoughts before we wrap?
Question that's not asked too often to people. Andrew? How are you feeling?
I am feeling better that I've recorded a podcast, but prior to that, I was feeling drained, I'm honest. It's been a very interesting last 3 to 4 weeks with life stuff, but there's just something about recording the podcast or I just get awake afterwards and I have to find a place to put all this energy. So now I'm feeling better than I was before we started. And I think it's because I love podcasting and I love talking to you. So, I'm feeling good right now.
That's good. That's good. I'm glad. Cause I feel that same way too. It's like, there's just this whole reinvigoration, a second wind. I'm glad we got to do this today.
Yay. Yeah. Yeah. Me too. For sure. This is good. Too long of a gap, but this was definitely needed today. I needed this, for sure. So, I want to mention a couple of things before we wrap. As I mentioned to you, Daniela, a couple of weeks ago, I've been really heavy into cryptocurrency and that space and investing and all that stuff. So I actually have a gift for you guys. If you guys are looking for a curated resource for cryptocurrency, I have it in the Discord. You can find that at andrew-alliance.com. That'll link you directly to the Discord. And there's a section in the Discord called Crypto Journal. So I'll repeat that again. If you head over to andrew-alliance.com, that'll put you in the Discord. And there's a section called Crypto Journal. And it's pretty much my journey of accumulating all these resources from financial literacy, cryptocurrency, all the way to mining crypto, and a nice resource. And that is in the Discord. Also, want to mention, definitely make sure you follow Daniela. She has an announcement coming up. I'm not sure when she's going to do it, but it's exciting. I'm excited for her. And definitely congratulations on that. You can follow her at MissDJM. And I'm excited for her. Super, super dope stuff. So congrats on that. I can't talk about it, but I'm kind of talking about it, but I'm not really saying anything. But just support her and, wish her congratulations once she announces her announcement. Danielle, you have any final thoughts?
Jeez, just that teaser right there. No pressure or anything.
No pressure.
No, I'm good. And I see you've been busy on Clubhouse too.
Yeah, I have been.
I see those notifications.
Yeah, come through. I'll ping you sometimes. You want to get pinged?
No, it already pings me when you're in there, you're listening or you're talking. I see them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. I like it. It's a dope world. Definitely meeting some cool people, building a dope community. I have a crew and we call I can't say what we are called. It's still under wraps. It's still under wraps because we have secret meetings and stuff like that. But no, we don't. No, I'm just kidding. Or am I? but yeah, it's fun meeting some dope folks over there and been having a good time on the platform. It's a dope platform if you use it for good intentions. And yeah, for sure, it's good.
Yeah, but thank you guys for listening to us and checking in on us. And we're going to be back in the swing of this. So thanks for listening for episode 590.